connection. Right. And so I'm really trying to find more perspectives from artists who went through that.
Right.
And you're...
Rachel T.
Hi, I'm Eva.
Hi, I'm Rachel G.
We are all Girl Scouts, and this is WGXC ACRA.
Would you like to help the efforts at WGXE to spread community information about the coronavirus? You can help your community radio station spread life-saving information about the outbreak and local reactions. Help us monitor, record, and broadcast press conferences about COVID-19 and help your community hear from experts about the latest updates on the illness. Use your phone, work from home, and help the community hear more about what is going on. Email info at WGXE.org. Or go to the WGXC Facebook page, Twitter feed, or Instagram account. Comment or send a message to get involved. Go to WGXC.org for more information and how to get involved with your community radio station.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Ruby's Hotel and Restaurant in Freehold, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tamara with a WGXC news update. Go to the newsroom, WGXC.org, for more information about any of these stories. Steve Hughes is reporting for the Times Union that a new Times Union Siena College Research Institute poll has found that the majority of residents of the capital region say they will need increased safety measures against the novel coronavirus before they feel safe at work again. Respondents said they want employers to provide masks, sanitized workplaces, and personal protective equipment at work, but they also expect larger public health measures that are not yet available, such as widespread diagnostic and antibody testing, as well as a treatment for COVID-19 or a vaccine. Of the 1,007 people surveyed who are still working outside the home, 52% said they trust employers to take necessary steps to protect employees and clients to keep them safe. However, Donald P. Levy, director of the Siena College Research Institute, said their answers on what safe is seem to indicate it may be a difficult goal to reach. Quote, "It seems to me that the concept of safe is a very, very high bar," unquote, Levy said. According to the poll, 74% said they would want there to be a treatment for COVID-19 going forward in order to feel safe at their workplace, and 53% said they want a vaccine. Scientists and public health officials have said the earliest a vaccine would be developed is at least a year away, and it could be longer than that before a vaccine is widely available to the general public. The poll was conducted among residents of the 11 counties that made up the capital region between April 27th and May 1st. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union. The Catskill Community Center Board of Directors announced May 8th its historic Main Street building in the village of Catskill may soon be listed for sale. According to a statement released by Board President Jeff Friedman, quote, "As our facility ages and as the needs of the community we serve change, the Board of Directors has decided to evaluate the current and future role of the center. In an effort to serve the town of Catskill community effectively, the Catskill Community Center is exploring several options for its future operations," unquote. The board said the condition and value of the building will be evaluated and with the possibility of listing it for sale. WGXC has learned at least one potential buyer was approached directly by the center in the past months, but they turned the opportunity down. The center offers various youth programs, including a youth drop-in center, kids' cooking workshops, and the Catskill Ski Program. The center also provides adult programming, such as a food pantry and a ukulele camp. The center opened as a YMCA in 1909, and in 1939, Alex Grossman founded the Catskill Boys Club in the building. The Boys Club evolved into the Boys and Girls Club and finally the Catskill Community Center. Quote, we appreciate the community's ongoing support of the Catskill Community Center and will continue to serve the community members of all ages during this process, unquote, the board's statement concluded. Read the full statement at catskillcommunitycenter.org. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper that the Ichabod Crane Board of Education met remotely May 5th due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The district confirmed last week its buildings and facilities will remain closed through the end of the school year, pursuant to an executive order issued by Governor Andrew Cuomo. And the district will conduct the annual board election and budget vote on June 9th, with all ballots cast by mail. Superintendent Jason Thompson reported during the meeting that plans for summer school are still up in the air. The district is proposing a $42 million budget for the 2020-2021 school year. Business manager Brennan said there have been no cuts to the staff or programs. The district could lose state aid as the state reviews revenues during the pandemic. But Brennan said this year the Ichabod Crane School District should be able to close an aid gap with existing revenues. Quote, it's the subsequent years that we're worried about, unquote, Thompson said. Brennan advised the board to plan a vote on the budget proposal in May so that it can be on the June 9th ballot. He also said that there should be a budget hearing on June 2nd. Brennan said the district will send out a mailing to district residents about the budget and the voting process. There is also information on the district website, ichabodcrane.org. According to information at ichabodcrane.org, every qualified voter in the district will receive an absentee ballot and with a postage-paid return envelope in the mail. Read more about this story at the Columbia paper, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Sunday with a high near 54. Sunday night, the prediction is for a low around 39 and a chance of showers, 30% chance, after 3 a.m. The showers persist into Monday, mostly cloudy skies and a high near 53. And Monday night, there's also a 30% chance of rain with a low around 31. Tuesday should be mostly sunny with a high near 49 and a low around 31. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Radio for open ears.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Becca Van Kay of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to another segment of Reclaiming History with Livonia Mallory, airing on WOOC 105.3 FM in Troy, WOOS LP 98.9 FM in Schenectady, WOOA LP 106.9 FM in Albany, and WCAA LP 107.3 FM, all part of the broadcasting network for the Sanctuary for Independent Media in Troy, New York, and I have a very special guest on the line today. This man has written a book. I mean, you've got to get into this thing. It's one of those unusual books, and his name is Joseph Jenkins. Mr. Jenkins has self-published this book going back to 1995, and it has sold, as far as I know, 70,000 copies. It's probably sold much more than that. Mr. Jenkins, tell my listeners the name of your book and what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, the name of it is The Humanure Handbook. It's H-U-M-A-N-U-R-E, pretty much what it sounds like. It's a contraction between human and manure. Yeah, actually, the general topic of the book is really compost, because that's what the whole gist of it is, that compost recycles poop. And people don't know anything about that, which is why I wrote about it. And yeah, the book's in its fourth edition, and there's 75,000 in print. Mine, but it's also been translated into, well, it's working on its 20th translation right now in Chinese. So the books have been sold in different languages in different continents.
Why did you write the book? And why is this something we as Americans need to be concerned about? Because we do have indoor plumbing, most of us. I know that's not the case for billions of people globally, but we as Americans, we have the luxury of having indoor plumbing. But why should we care about composting human manure?
There's ways to answer that. First off, the book is really meant for humanity. Originally, it was meant for an American audience, but over the time period that I've been doing this, I realized it's not just Americans. Americans are 4% of the world's population. 96% of everybody on this planet is not an American. And like you said, billions of people don't have toilets. They need them. Now, in the U.S., the reason people are interested in this topic, there's a couple of reasons. One, everybody defecates, and few people know anything about what happens after you walk away from it. What do you do if you rely on a flush toilet and it won't flush for any prolonged period of time? But what are your options? You know, you don't have indoor plumbing anymore when the power goes out. And,
it's true.
You know, it's a dangerous situation in the sense that what's plan B? People should be aware of what they can do to create a toilet that's safe, and environmentally safe and hygienically safe and odorless without the need for water or electricity or drains or vents or pipes or chemicals or anything else like that. I mean, that's what the gist of my book is. It's about learning about composting and how composting provides tool for dealing with organic material and recycling it, even what normally goes into a toilet.
Well, I'm really into water and water management on the side. That's one of my interest areas. And I don't think that most people realize that your toilet uses more water than almost anything in your house. And you're using drinkable, potable water to flush away your poo. That's a waste. And why not figure out another way to dispose of, or better yet, from reading your book, capture the energy from what we call in America human waste?
Exactly. A compost toilet is a waste-free toilet. No waste goes in, no waste comes out. And when I say that, people just stare at me like it doesn't make sense, but it will if you allow me to explain or read the book. But arguably, water is our most precious resource. And I don't mean seawater. I mean drinkable water.
Sure.
Without it, you die. All the diamonds and the gold and money in the world don't mean anything if you're dying of thirst. And you will die pretty quickly without water. Human life and all life depends on water, but human life depends on water that's drinkable and safe, as opposed to water that's polluted. And unfortunately, water toilets are one of the biggest sources of water pollution, and just sewage in general. Lack of toilets. Toilets are not available. People defecate in holes in the ground or on the ground. Rain, you know, washes it into the groundwater or the streams and then pollutes the water, and then we have public health issues.
We have cholera, we have typhoid, and these are some of the things that you talk about in your book, some of the diseases that we have because people are defecating on the ground and defecating in open sewers, or at least open stream. And we know this in the third world, particularly countries like Africa, where people don't have toilets and they have typhoid, cholera, and other sorts of diseases that you just catch from human waste. So the full title of your book is Humanure Handbook, A Guide to Composting Human Manure. So how do you actually compost human manure? How do you take poo, human poo, and turn it into compost that's safe? Because I think that's what most people are concerned about. If I'm going to do this, how can I make this compost that's not then going to expose me to disease?
That's where compost comes in, and that's what the question you just asked. What is it? Make a big pile of green grass clippings, wait a day or so and stick your hand in the middle of it. You'll feel the heat.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thermophiles, thermophilic bacteria being sparked into life. And when I say sparked, because if we pile up organic material, other bacteria start digesting the organic material, and they raise the temperature. The thermophilic bacteria will heat that organic material up, convert that organic material back into Mother Earth.
Which is compost, basically.
It's compost, that's right. It's compost. It looks mm-hmm. like soil or, you know, looks like a rich soil or humus, but in that pile of organic material, you can put toilet material. Our toilet material is easily converted back into Earth. The key fact that most people don't understand is that while these microscopic organisms are consuming and converting smelly, stinky, rotten organic material back into Earth, they also kill human disease organisms. Human disease organisms die in the process.
Mr. Jenkins, let me make sure I understand and my listeners understand. So when you're talking about what you call organic material, you're talking about leaves, clippings,
yep,
mixed with human waste. You mix it together. You make a compost pile. That compost pile is going to heat up, and when it heats up, it's going to kill the bacteria that's in the human poo.
It kills the disease organisms, which include bacteria, but humanure, I coined the term humanure just so it's easier to talk about.
Yeah.
Fecal material, human excrement, urine, all that stuff, just in one word that's pretty innocuous. So if your humanure has disease organisms in it, and you put that humanure into a compost environment, the disease organisms can't survive. It's an alien environment for them. The composting process provides us with the means of sanitation that doesn't require water, that's ecologically friendly, and if it's managed correctly, there's no odor at all, none.
Well, there are a couple of things when I was reading your book that struck me. Not turning the pile, but not disturbing it for prolonged periods of time.
Yes, but yes, compost does not need to be turned to be successful. But if you're piling up organic material, manures, when you're piling all that stuff up, I'll tell you, and you leave it out in a pile, I'll tell you right now, it's going to stink. There'll be flies all over it. But you don't have to do that. That's a mistake, in my opinion.
How do you construct your pile based on your design so that you don't have to turn it and right, that it doesn't stink?
Right, exactly. You can't have open piles. You have to contain the piles. And you contain the piles by building a bin. A simple bin can be built in 10 minutes. I have a video on YouTube. So once you have some type of containment system, whether it's pallets or boards or blocks or bricks or straw bales, then you put the compost in that, and you do it. You always, always, always cover the compost with some clean cover material, like straw, hay, weeds, leaves, you know, whatever happens to work. Goss, which is ground up sugar cane, we use rice hulls. The sawdust is perfect for inside a toilet. And you build your pile in such a manner that the compost is enveloped. So in doing that, you achieve a lot of different things. You eliminate the odor completely. It's really that simple. It's that simple. You smell something,
wow,
you don't have enough cover material, put some more on. Put the cover material on until you don't smell anything. A correctly managed composting system, you'll smell nothing, and there won't be any flies. And that goes for compost toilet. Correctly managed compost toilet will be completely odor-free.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to another segment of Reclaiming History. This is Livonia Mallory, and I have a very special guest with me, Mr. Joseph Jenkins. He has written a groundbreaking book, Humanure Handbook, A Guide to Composting Human Manure. Mr. Jenkins, Is there anything that we haven't had a chance to talk about that you want to make sure my listeners know about your upcoming work or the work that you're doing on an ongoing basis?
Well, yeah, the Humaner Handbook 4th edition subtitle is not a guide to composting human manure. It's poop in a nutshell, except the word poop starts with an S. I don't know if I can say it on this radio station.
No, you can't. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one you want. There's 3 other editions, and every time I wrote a new edition was because I had learned a lot of new stuff, and I wanted to update everything.
Mr. Jenkins, if one of my listeners wanted to reach out to you and have you work on a project with them, how could they contact you?
I would say humanorehandbook.com is a way to get hold of me, or josephjenkins.com. That's my hub website. Anybody in the world can Google Humanure and Joe Jenkins, and they'll find me.
All right. So, Mr. Jenkins, we want to thank you so much for joining us on another segment of Reclaiming History, airing on WOOC 105.3 FM, The Sanctuary. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Morning Show on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High, and I am also from Hudson.
I am Lena. I am a student of MC Smith, and I am also from Hudson.
Hi, my name is AJ. I go to school at Libri. I'm 9 years old, and I live in Elizabeth.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Yes. Books we love, books we hate,
bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today. How's everyone doing? How are you feeling about the news about school being held off? I know for our Bound by Books crew, we have both Amelia and Mashuda, our seniors at Hudson High School. So I know that that's a tough yep. situation you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, how are you all feeling about your online learning and this crazy time we're living in?
Mess.
All right.
Not so good about it. I don't like it.
I think that it is meh. Definitely.
Meh?
Meh, as in most exotic. What's a H word for prison? Whatever that is, then that is definitely the last thing.
An H word for what?
Prison.
Prison?
Yes.
Hmm.
Okay.
Home arrest? That could be one word, maybe. I think it's 2 words. I don't know what's exotic about
it. Pizzin. That's it. So that is it's the most exotic pizzin. Meh. That's just how I feel about it because I am not into this at all. I am a sociable person and I do not like this.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm glad I get to connect with you all each week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So there was something that my family was passing around on my mother's phone yesterday, and I asked if they could read it aloud to me because sometimes they don't give me enough time to read it. And so it said an almanac predicted the coronavirus, and it said there will be a infection or an illness that will happen in 2020, and there will be no known cure for it, and it will disappear as soon as it had come. And then 10 years later, it will come back and then it'll be gone for good.
What was this in?
An almanac.
I'm looking it up. I'm fact checking.
Okay. But like, it's probably not true because like some things on the news, they just make up so they can still be a channel. That's what I think personally.
Yeah. According to Snopes, it's been misattributed. I just said that funny. According to Snopes, it's been misattributed. Let's see. So the page that apparently has been attributed to the Farmer's Almanac is from Sylvia Brown's 2008 book, End of Days. And she's a self-described psychic.
Oh, great.
Oh, no. When we thought they weren't real, they were real.
I still don't think they're real.
Yeah, one told me that I'd find a boyfriend, and I don't have one.
Aww. One told me I'd have 5 kids, and I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Just you wait. Yeah. You never
I'm
know.
Not going to have 5 children. I'm not going to have 1 child.
Maybe you'll have 5 young people who you mentor who are like children to you.
Maybe.
Maybe it's just
maybe
twist.
That's what they're...
And maybe you'll have someone like a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Or maybe you'll have a boyfriend someday. It said you'd have it by a certain time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, she was like, you can pick a card. And I highly doubt that that's going to happen because it's like she would have probably told me that she would have known. But she let me pick a card. And she knows what the cards are, so I don't think it's true.
This was a psychic prediction.
Did you do a tarot card thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. And she said, you got the King of Cups. And my mom, she said that she's the boss, even at her own job. And that's not true because she works for a lady and she's kind of the boss, but also not the boss.
Hold on. I may or may not have a tab open on my phone constantly about tarot cards, and I may or may not be going to it right now to figure out what King of Cups means. But according to this, if you pick the card upright, it means emotionally balanced, compassionate, and diplomatic. But reversed, it means self-compassion, inner feelings, moodiness, and emotionally manipulative. And then there's more things about it under it, but if she made you pick a card, then I don't think she was doing the kind of tarot reading that this website is meant for.
Oh,
so I don't know. There are tons of different ways to do it.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. But like, I was happy and excited at first. I was like, yay, I'll get a boyfriend. Someone who will keep me company because like I'm the youngest and the rest are at college and my mom and dad are busy all the time.
Well, maybe you'll find some nice friends, whether boyfriends or otherwise, to keep you company. But now you have all your family at home, right?
Yeah, well, except for my dad because he works at an Apple factory and apparently working with apples isn't doing any harm with the virus.
So he's still home, just not at the moment.
Yeah.
Cool. Mashuda is joining
Mashuda,
us.
Yay.
Hello. I'm sorry. I was doing some college stuff and I lost track of time.
That's okay. Do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hello, this is Mashuda. I'm a Hudson High School student and I'm 18 years old.
Hey. We had just gotten started and had talked about the news that school is continuing to be remote for the rest of the school year. And then we talked about some psychic predictions. That's that. Does anyone have a book they would like to talk about or something they've been reading?
I have an interesting thing relating to literature that I can talk about. Well, one, I got a new Wings of Fire book, which differs greatly from all the other ones, and I'm not sure how much I like this difference or not, but for the first time, it's from the perspective of humans. It's the first book that's ever done that, and I'm like, that's interesting, but at the same time,
I love these books for the fact that they are unique in that they are from the perspective of dragons. So I'm actually not sure how much I'm going to like this installment of it. But I'm trying to enjoy it. I'm trying to appreciate it for what it is. And as for the other thing, our final project for our creative writing class was posted today. We have to make a portfolio of four of our favorite pieces of work from the school year and reflect on them and talk about what inspired us to create them. So I get to revisit a bunch of my old work.
Yeah, do you know which ones you're going to pick yet?
I know two that are definitely going to go in. I'm not sure what other two will be. You have to put four works in it. So I know that two are definitely going in, but I'm not sure what the other two will be.
Cool. I think Lena wanted to talk about a book too.
Oh, okay.
I thought I saw a hand up. Not that you can see hands on radio.
Yeah. So there's a book that we were assigned to read, which was a Cinderella book, and it was the Chinese version. And so it's different in many ways, but it's really good. So it's like about how, well, I think you guys know how it's kind of about, but the difference is that I'm pretty sure it takes place in China and she doesn't have a fairy godmother or animals helping her. She has these bones of a fish that she raised that grew really big, and the mother killed the fish so she could cook it for dinner. And so all she has to do is to have the magic activate, is lean over the bones of this fish and say what she wants. She has to kneel down and lean over them. And then the magic happens. And she was informed about this by an old man. And she wanted to ask about a lot of stuff. Like, how'd he know this? But then, before she could say a word, he flew up into the air and poofed. And that's all I get to read. I really wanted to read more.
That's cool. Aren't Amelia and Mashuda reading or writing fairy tales?
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I'm rewriting Cinderella. I think, Mashuda, you said last week that you were rewriting Hansel and Gretel.
No, I mean, I feel like I'm not going to rewrite any fairy tale. I don't know. I couldn't, like, I'm changing my mind now. Like, I have to ask Miss Neary if I can, like, write my own fairy tale, like, you know, a different, whole different.
I rewrote a fairy tale one.
Which fairy tale was it?
Which one?
The Three Billy Goats, and they were the five Buffies, I think. Because they were all five girls that all had muscles. And then on the way, they met the King of the Ants, which was sort of like the troll. And they and they were on their way to see a wrestling show, which the teacher thought was really funny. And it turned out that the smallest of all of them defeated it. And then they went to the place, and then they went back home, like the mother said, and then it started all over again because there was another one coming up the same time right afterwards. Well, not the same time, but then the smallest one said, here we go again, and that ends the story.
So Lena, I had a question for you about your fairy tale that you read. Were the bones and the magic part, was that creepy, or was it just light and magical?
It was supposed to be light and magical, and it kind of is to me, like to other people it probably isn't, because like I watch a lot of stuff that includes like bones and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because Amelia and Mashuda have been talking about turning fairy tales into creepy stories, or how a lot of fairy tales are creepy in general until they're Disney-fied.
Yeah.
Or if it's just because they're bones. But for some reason, reading about like a fish that died and then she has the bones that like she can make magic out of, it sounded very creepy. But then I was like, maybe I'm just reading into it because of all these other things.
If you read the originals behind a lot of Disney fairy tales, you find some pretty horrific stuff
to the point where I honestly sometimes wonder why Disney even approached these stories and were like, yeah, we can make a child-friendly empire out of this. But they did. Somehow they succeeded.
Yeah. For example, Peter Pan. I'm not going to tell you the original.
I know the
because
original.
Because it's weird.
I know the original. Yeah. A lot of original fairy tales are just weird or outright horrific.
Fun. Anyways, I think AJ has a book to discuss.
I just recently started Sherlock Holmes, and I'm reading about the red-headed something. I forgot the name because I don't have the book, sadly.
What's it about?
Sherlock Holmes has a new case, and so he worked for a red-headed something, and I think it was society or something. I don't know. And he had to copy straight out of an encyclopedia to make copies, and he was doing fine until one, well... The reward, I forgot to tell you that, was like...
Redheaded League.
Yes, Redheaded League, thank you. And it was a few hundred pounds, I think, was the salary. And he was doing fine. He was almost done with the A's. He was going to the B's. And then the day that he went to Sherlock Holmes, it stopped. It said, the Redheaded League has dissolved October 9th, 1998. I'm not sure. And that's all the part that I got up to.
Is it good? Are you enjoying it?
Yes, it's very good.
What's it like? I've never read Sherlock Holmes.
It's funny because he notices everything about everyone who walks in the door and has a new case for him. For example, he noticed that this man wrote a lot, that he came from China, and that the last thing was... Oh, I forgot the last thing, but he knew about the writing because she said that his right arm cuff was shiny from rubbing on the paper, and his left shoulder was... worn from resting on the table. And he said that he was recently in China because he had a fish tattoo that could not be made anywhere else except in China.
Was it a tattoo of that fish from Cinderella? Fish that is no more. Poor fish.
Yeah.
Poor magic bone fish.
I really feel like I should start making, like, a quote book of things we've said on this show, but out of context, and, like, Magic Bone Fish would definitely be one of those things.
Yeah.
I wonder...
Can't forget Cowboy Grandpa.
Oh, yeah, Cowboy Grandpa. I forgot about him. But that sounds really fun. Are they short stories that you're reading? The Sherlock Holmes ones?
In the series?
Yeah, is it? Are they like short stories?
Oh, yeah, they're short stories, and in my book, there are three in one series, and I'm started with the Red-Headed League.
Cool.
Every time that I finish a new book, I'm going to wait until the day that it's going to be about my books, and then I'll tell you about what's going to happen next.
Got it. Yeah, I like a good mystery, but I've never read Sherlock Holmes. I don't know why. Maybe someday. Maybe I'll let you read them all and then tell me which one's the absolute best must read.
Maybe.
Maybe. I'll make you do all the hard work. Ashuda, did you have any book or?
No. Honestly, I didn't read. I couldn't read any books because I've been so busy. So it's just that I was just wondering. I mean, like, we're actually experiencing history, basically. So I was just wondering if we were to make a documentary, you know, it could be like, it's like, you know, I tried going outside like last week and it feels so different.
Yeah.
In our school, like, we are doing a time capsule on, like, you know, recording the moments because, you know, it's
ridiculous.
What do you think you would put in the time capsule?
So there was one question was like, what do you recommend people watching? Like, what news? And I said, like, I recommend people to watch CNN because, you know, I feel like I really trust CNN. It's reliable. And it's like, you know, like other news, they have like this big paper. So like they put this paper, I don't know, I noticed it and it kind of annoys me. Like they put that paper in front and I feel like they have it memorized. And when they're telling the news and they look at the paper, you get what I'm saying? Like they have a paper in front of them. I mean, they lay it down.
You mean other people read the paper?
Oh, no, like other news.
Yeah. I would think CNN anchors probably also read, but they're reading off of a teleprompter. I think most news people do. I think it's pretty common. But I personally think CNN tends to be fairly reliable as a news source. I mean, any news agency gets things wrong occasionally or misreports something, but they seem pretty reliable to me as well.
I mean, I guess like the news anchor for CNN, they sound less like it's less memorized than, you know, other news channels.
Sure.
What did you recommend, Amelia?
I don't know if I did the recommendation portion of the assignment. I think I chose something else. I think I made an artifact or something. I think I painted a rock.
That's nice.
Yeah.
We can put all our masks in once we're, we're done with them. I think for things to watch, too, I find it pretty interesting seeing how some of the TV shows are responding, the ones that aren't, you know, there's some TV shows that were recorded long ago, and so they look the same as they would anytime. But then there's shows like American Idol or the late night comedy shows. I'm trying to think what other ones, Saturday Night Live. I guess that's a late night comedy, but I was thinking talk shows. But some of them are incorporating video conferencing into their shows.
Yeah.
And I find that very interesting.
And yeah. Amelia, can you believe that it's May, 4th now? So, we only have 1 month to graduate.
I know.
Yeah, I'm so excited, to see what they have for us, online graduation and everything. It's new, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll do everything they can to make it special for you guys.
And I wonder, are we going to wear our cap and gown? Because we got our measurement with Miss Kaiser. But I don't know, I just wonder.
Yeah. I don't know.
Seems like they could send them to you.
Yeah.
Do you think you would decorate your cap? Is that something that people do still?
I think that's a college thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I did it in high school, and I didn't do it in college.
Oh.
That's interesting. My high school one was covered with pictures and a collage.
It's funny.
Yeah.
When did you got your cap and gown? Did you get it earlier, in May?
Oh, I don't remember. I went to high school a really long time ago.
Oh. I'm just asking because I'm anxious. I don't know when I'm going to get it.
Yeah, I don't remember. My guess is it's pretty close to graduation that you get them, but I don't know.
How do you feel about it, Amelia?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a lot. Still pretty new too.
Do you have a book to share?
Me?
Yeah.
I do. I had a few books I could have shared, but I decided to share this one for Lena. Lena, look what I finally read. Yay.
Oh my God, yes.
I decided to finally read Ghosts by Raina Telgemeier, which is one of Lena's, if not Lena's, favorite book.
Yes, it is.
I think we both talked about this book and other Raina Telgemeier books many times on the show because we love her. And this one, for some reason, I never read. And so I decided to finally take it out. So Ghosts by Raina Telgemeier is about, the main character's name is Katrina, and she and her family move up to the coast to Northern California because her sister Maya is sick. She has cystic fibrosis. And they're hoping that she'll benefit from the change in climate in Northern California. So they move to a place called Bahia de la Luna. And they're sort of finding their way around. And then one of their neighbors lets them in on a secret, which is that there are ghosts in Bahia de la Luna. And Kat seems to both not quite believe in ghosts, but also doesn't really want to believe in ghosts because she is scared. But her younger sister, Maya, is determined that she's going to meet a ghost. And it's all sort of leading up to the Day of the Dead, which is a holiday when you honor the deceased and set up an offering to them and sort of celebrate their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And Maya's very excited to celebrate the holiday and makes an ofrenda for their grandmother and is hoping to be able to meet her grandmother. And you sort of start to realize along the way that part of the reason that Maya wants to meet a ghost and is determined to meet a ghost is that she's worried about if she were to die, what would life be like for her? What is that like to die? What is the experience? And so it's in part her way of wanting to feel better about that possibility. And similarly, Kat is both scared of ghosts, but also is scared of losing her sister. So there's some nice moments between the sisters. And then it's also, has the sort of fun nature of Raina Telgemeier's work.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. You get to learn a little bit about Day of the Dead.
Speaking of Day of the Dead, who knows what tomorrow is?
Oh, Cinco de Mayo?
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo. I'm excited for tomorrow.
What do you do to celebrate, Lena?
We eat. We cook and we eat and eat. Oh, and sometimes we play games. And new thing that we do is that we go to online school.
You go to online school to celebrate?
Yes. No. Something that I'm forced to do.
You should be like, I can't go to school today. It's Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite foods that you eat on Cinco de Mayo, or do you change up what you eat every year?
Honestly, I don't really know, because I think we started celebrating it last year. But, like, I'm pretty sure we have tamales. We're going to have tamales, and tamales are good.
That sounds good. That's another thing in ghosts, that there's a lot of food in ghosts.
Yes, it makes you hungry.
Yeah, Kat keeps trying new foods that are mostly Mexican foods. You don't always know exactly what it is, and she doesn't often say what it is, but you can tell that she like tries something and is like, this is good. That makes you hungry for some tasty Mexican food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone have anything coming up this week that they're excited about?
I do.
What do you have?
Cinco de Mayo. I get to eat all I want.
Nice.
My family doesn't celebrate Cinco de Mayo or Day of the Dead because those are Mexican holidays, but we are Puerto Rican.
Anything else exciting or things you're looking forward to reading?
More of the Chinese Cinderella. That's something that I'm looking forward to.
Seems fun. I'm reading a nice book right now.
What is it?
It's called The Mighty Heart of Sunny St. James by Ashley Herring Blake. And I've been listening to it, and it's very good. So I'm excited to keep reading that. And then I have a couple adult thriller books that I want to read.
Ooh.
So I haven't read a good thriller in a long time.
Oh.
Those are fun. How about you, AJ?
I don't know. It's just now we're so, it's like we have so much to do, but we don't have anything to do. It's weird.
Yeah. I feel you. Yeah, it's hard thinking of, like, usually there's, like, events that you're excited about. Now that's a little stranger. There's still some events, but they're all online events for the most part, and they all kind of blend together. But there is a special day coming up, and I want to give everyone out there listening a reminder so that you don't forget. It's Mother's Day on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. So,
it's Sunday?
It's that.
Celebrate all of our favorite mothers in the world.
Yay.
Yay. Thanks, moms.
Yeah.
Moms are important. Wouldn't be here without them.
Yeah.
Since the book fair is canceled this year, maybe for once I will be able to read all the ones I got from last year before buying hundreds of dollars worth of more.
Yeah,
it's a sad positive aspect of that, but
I just read a book by one of the Bookfest authors that I'll talk about next week.
Yay.
I did that this past weekend in honor of the Bookfest, and also because I wanted to read it.
I might finally read Star-Crossed by Barbara Dee. It's a short little book, and I really have wanted to read it for a while, but I just have not gotten a chance to.
Yeah, it looks really sweet.
It looks so cute. I can't wait to read it.
All right. Well, I think we're just about out of time for today. So I hope everyone has a great week, reads lots of good books, stay safe and healthy, and entertained, and happy Cinco de Mayo, although by the time this radio show broadcasts, it will be in the past. But I hope you had a good Cinco de Mayo, and happy Mother's Day.
Yay.
Bye.
Yay. Bye. Bye.
Voice 7 FM, Acra, Catskill, Chatham, Coxsackie, East Chatham, West Chatham, North Chatham, and Old Chatham.
He's coming around, folks. He's
he's going to be okay and ready to play Symptom 6 of Beat the Reaper.
Last week, our patient successfully survived the common cold, measles, pneumonia, dengue fever, and the yaws.
And now, the big question. Are you ready to go on?
What? Where?
He's ready!
Now, our topless nurse, Judy, is wheeling our patient into the isolation ward.
Can you hear me in there? Okay, let's shoot him up. Now, patient, you have 10 seconds to tell us what you've got and beat the Reaper!
I'm shaking feverish. My hands are all... yellow, my God, I've got jaundice.
It is! Give it in! Symptom 6. And now you've reached the final threshold. Here's the question. Are you ready for symptom number 7? Longer than any patient has ever survived before.
I want to go home.
Only one way to do that. Doctor, bring in the super shot.
Now, for the first time on Beat the Reaper, we're going for the big disease. The icebox is being unlocked by the president of the Armenian Medical Association, under whose strict supervision these toxins are being administered.
This is it. Doctor, give him that really big disease. Now, patient, can you hear me? You've got 10 seconds to tell us what you've got. And for the last time, beat the Reaper!
I think I feel... I don't know, whatever... Whatever it is, I want to die.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. That's not correct. You didn't beat the Reaper. Doctor, bring the patient out and show the amphitheater audience and all the folks at home just what he's contracted.
According to my careful prosthesis, this man has... the plague.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome.
You've got the plague. Well, isn't he a good sport? We'll be back in just a moment with our next patient, but first...
I'm
WGXE is asking if you are doing anything to help your community during the COVID-19 outbreak. Please get in touch with WGXE. Your community radio station is here to amplify your story, help corral more volunteers, or raise funds or supplies for the needy. If you are working to make sure local children who can't be at school still get fed, then tell us at WGXE 90.7 FM. If you are making sure local seniors are getting meals and deliveries, then tell us. WGXE will help you with your efforts. Email info@WGXE.org or go to the WGXE Facebook page, Twitter feed, or Instagram account and comment or send a message. You can talk about your project on the air, and we can tell our listeners and readers at WGXE.org how to help.